No, we thank you for Andy, and thanks for his preparation, and he's looking at Isaiah 6. Lord, we believe there's truth here that is going to affect us, that can change our lives, that can get us on the right track, can bring us back where we're wandering away. There's all sorts of stuff in this wonderful passage. And we pray, Lord, that you'd speak through Andy to us, that you'd anoint him afresh with your Holy Spirit. He'd have joy as he shares, sense your pleasure, sense your presence. And I invite your Holy Spirit to move in this place. For the precious name of Jesus. Amen.
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 Thank you. Amen. Great. I am on. Yeah, brilliant. Well, good morning, everyone, and Happy New Year. I have to say, I enjoyed that this morning. Thank you for those that shared, and thank you. It makes all the difference being ready to go with it, and I love the sense of family cheering one another on. If I was jumping up to share something from the last few weeks, there's probably a few things I might have wanted to share, but one of them would have been, one of the things I just loved watching was the church family of all ages working together. And because our kids are in the youth stuff, I happened to watch them, first of all, the young people using a Friday night to help lay out and prepare for the senior citizens, over 100 senior citizens, Christmas lunch the following morning, then watch them serving throughout the day. Well, I didn't watch that. I wasn't there much of the time. But I got a quick window into them serving throughout the day and expressing something of the heart of God to a different generation. And then on the Friday night, to watch all sorts of different ones of you, different ages, coming and serving them as they had their Christmas party. And I just found myself thinking, this is a great expression of the family of God. Different generations serving one another, relating together. And I was like, yes, I love it. That's what I would have shared, but I didn't have the opportunity, so I took it anyway. So I'm going to be speaking, as Nick alluded to, from Isaiah 6. I just want to say a couple of things as we get underway. First of all, it's a real privilege to be able to gather as a Life Church Manchester family. Most of the time it's Life Church Sale and Life Church Hill Green on Sundays that we gather as. But as the whole Life Church Manchester family, to be able to gather together at the start of the year and even the start of a whole new decade. Welcome to the 20s. And I believe there is a word that God has for us at the start of this year. And it's not just by accident that young people, you have stayed in. Actually, you are in rather than out because I believe you're a really key part of this decade and a really key part of the plans and purposes that God has for us as a Life Church family. And what I believe the word that God has for us is for all ages, for every one of us, and maybe especially significant for you. So can I ask you right now, young person or old person, just to take a moment, in a moment of quiet, to ask God to speak to you personally this morning. And can I ask you maybe to take a moment just to open your heart to him, to be ready to hear something from him this morning? Let's have a moment's silence. Lord, I know I can't do it, but I know you can. And so we just reach out to you right now. And as we open our hearts to you, we thank you that you will meet us right where we're at. We invite you to speak to us, to put a hunger and thirst in us for you, to prepare us for the weeks, months, and years to come. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so I am going to talk this morning about the importance of, and I've put in brackets, fresh revelation and vision. The importance of fresh revelation and vision. Proverbs 29:18 says this in the New International Version. It says, where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint. Where there is no revelation, people cast off restraint. In other words, where you're not seeing something of who God is to keep you on course, then actually you're very, very vulnerable. Where there's no sense of, oh, I'm seeing something of what God has for my life and who God is and what he wants to do, then do you know what? You're very vulnerable just to getting caught up with everything else that's going on in the world. Where there is no revelation, people cast off restraint. Some of you have heard me talk in the past about, as a 13-year-old, going to boarding school and wanting to try and live for Christ. I'd become a Christian 2 years before, and when I got there, finding that everyone was living in a very different sort of way, it was a bit shocking for me. And actually, some of my so-called friends took it on themselves a bit of a project to try and get me to live in a bit of a different way. And it was a bit of their goal to get me to swear, to get me to deny Jesus. It was all sorts of things that they took on them. And it slowly, what started as probably a bit of fun, became something that actually, certainly to me as the recipient, felt like it was quite nasty. And it became pretty hard for me. And it probably culminated a few months in when I got back to my little cubicle that we had in school and found that everything in that little room had been thrown out. It was two floors up, but it was all out on the floor downstairs. It had been thrown through the window, my mattress, my bedding, everything, all my clothes, my wash stuff, everything was gone apart from my Bible, which had all sorts of stuff written all over it. And actually, the bed frame was still there as well. They hadn't got that through the window. But at that moment, it was like, oh, this is just so hard. Wouldn't it just be easier to go along with the crowd? Maybe I'll just forget about Jesus and try and just fit in with everyone else. And I have to say, all I can say as I look back is that somehow God in his grace met me right at that moment. And I found myself reflecting on the fact that Jesus had gone through a whole lot more than I had gone through. And that actually he was ready to die on the cross for me. And it was like somehow in that moment of feeling like I was facing all sorts of difficulties and challenges, it was like he in a fresh way made me aware of what he'd done when he died on the cross for me. And it was like a fresh revelation for me. It was like the lights went on. It's like, and suddenly, instead of wanting to just go, oh, should I just go along with the crowd? There was something that rose up within me that said, I don't want to just go along with the crowd. Lord Jesus, you know I'm finding this really hard. And literally, I got down on my knees beside my bed frame and I said, Lord Jesus, you know I'm finding this incredibly hard. But I know that you went through so much more for me. So please help me to keep living for you and to keep resisting the pressure that I'm feeling and the challenges that I'm feeling. And I felt like he met me in that. And it was a key moment for me because it was like it sealed something. It was like, yeah, I've seen something and I don't want to just live half-heartedly. I want to count whatever cost has to be counted in order to live for the one who counted every cost and paid every price for me. It was important. The King James version of Proverbs 29:18, it's translated like this: without a vision, the people perish. Where people lose sight of vision, where people lose sight of who they're meant to be in God, what they're called to be, you're called, we as the people of God, if you know Jesus yourself, we're called to stand out. We're called to be different. We're called to be lights that shine in the darkness. We're not called to conform to the world, but to be different and to be totally transformed and live differently. He wants to help us to see a vision of what life really should be like. And that doesn't get shaped by social media and by all the films you watch and everything else. That gets shaped by him. He wants to lift our sights. Nick's talked about our vision as a church. One of the things he alluded to is about transforming lives and communities across Manchester and beyond. That's what we're committed to. We believe God's not called us just to gather together, but to be a people who are engaged in transforming lives and communities across Manchester and beyond, who are engaged in a kingdom business that has eternal significance. That's the work that he invites us to be a part of. And you may say, well, what does that look like? How will it come about? Well, I guess it looks like a group of people who are so caught up with Jesus that they're ready to lay down their lives and stand out from the world and offer what they have, gifts, talents, possessions, material possessions, whatever, for his purposes. It looks like a group of people who've understood and experienced the power of Jesus' love and are so gripped with that and so excited by that, that they can't help sharing that love with others. It looks like a group of people who are constantly taking new steps of faith in their discipleship journey with Jesus, who are looking to where he is and saying, is that you, Lord? Then tell me to come. And taking radical steps of faith, getting out of the boat, saying, Lord, you've called us to live in a totally different way. And because one's ready to take those steps of faith, other people get blessed. And other people begin to experience something of who Jesus is. It looks like a group of people who are moving in the gifts of the Spirit, making the most of all that God has made available to us. It looks like life groups scattered across the city that don't just have meetings, but share their lives and serve their communities together. And actually, it looks like multiple worshiping communities where everyone knows that they belong and they have a part to play. Some people will say, why don't we just focus on just making this bigger and better and putting on a great show here in Sale? And for some people, some churches, that's the call on them, to focus that way and build that way. We don't believe that's how we're called. We believe that we are expected, got a vision for the city, and it won't happen just by gathering more and more people here in Sale. In fact, the danger is when you do that and you just gather more and more people, you get a crowd, but you don't get the real church. What I mean by that is you don't have everyone playing their part. A whole lot of people spectating. We're called to all play a part, to be the body of Christ, all with different gifts to play. And I love watching that. If you haven't been to Heal Green, you want to get a different sort of picture and feel of what it looks like in an early stage of a small community beginning to grow. Go on one Sunday morning and just get a bit of a flavor and catch the sense of family and different people playing their part. And it's not just about Heal Green and Sale. It's about other places. Certainly Eccles and Stretford is where we feel particularly called to focus at the moment. But it will be other places as well beyond that. And I unashamedly say, our focus is not just to build sort of bigger and better show here on a Sunday morning. It's to see the city transformed by all sorts of expressions of his light. But actually, that's not what I'm really talking about this morning, because a church's vision is not enough. That's the truth. The only way we will really fulfill the purposes of God together as a corporate people is not because, oh, as a group, we've got this amazing vision. Actually, it starts by our own personal vision and revelation of Jesus. The truth is that we have to have a personal vision and revelation of Jesus if our life is going to stay on track. And when you lose that, you are very vulnerable. Everything changes when you see the Lord for yourself. And young people, I want to encourage you. You may be living in the good of your parents' faith and the fact that they've said, we're going to be part of this church community and part of this family. But in the end, your parents' faith is not enough. You need your own revelation, your own understanding of who God is and what he's done for you. It really matters that you begin to engage with him in your own personal way. And everything changed for Isaiah when he saw the Lord. And we're going to read these verses in Isaiah chapter 6. We're going to think about the revelation that he had, and in particular, the context of it, the content of it, and his response to it. So if you've got your Bibles, you might like to turn to it. It's Isaiah chapter 6, but I'm going to read it so you can just listen if you'd rather do that. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. This is Isaiah speaking. High and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphim, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying, and they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." And at the sound of their voices, the doorposts and threshold shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. "Woe to me," I cried. "I'm ruined, for I'm a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the King, the Lord Almighty." And then one of the seraphim flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it, he touched my mouth and said, "See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for." And then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" And I said, "Here am I, send me." And probably at that point, Isaiah didn't really fully know what he was getting into, but he'd seen something that caused himself to offer himself. And if you want to read the rest of Isaiah, you'll see, wow, his offering of himself led to all sorts of incredibly challenging scenarios and situations. But he'd been ruined for the ordinary. He'd been ruined for anything else because he'd had a vision of the King. Not a king, the Lord Almighty. He had seen him. What was the context of this revelation? Well, it says it was in the year that King Uzziah died. What's significant about that? Well, probably that actually Uzziah's reign was one of the more prosperous, glorious reigns of the different kings. For a long time, he was a godly king. And then pride, as so often it can and did, came in and spoiled his life and his rule and his reign. But it is possible that Isaiah, up to that point, was so caught up with what was going on just in the world, in their own humanistic society, as it were, that he wasn't quite in that place to see something beyond this world. And the truth is that for many of us, if we're not careful, we can get very caught up with the things of this world, and it becomes harder and harder to see beyond this world. Sometimes things have to die. Sometimes we have to lay things down, put things down, make space for things so that we can get a fresh vision and a revelation of who God is. I had an interesting conversation with my dad over Christmas. Many of you know that my mum, who was such an amazing companion to him for 51 years, died 18 months ago. And he was saying as we were talking, he said, well, one of the things he talked about is how originally he thought he'd get a dog for sort of sense of companionship. And he'd begun to say before, actually, I'm not so sure whether I need a dog. I sort of like the idea of going for walks with a dog, but actually, I've realized when I'm going for walks, I'm not on my own. He's with me. And he was just unpacking that a little bit further as we went for a walk over Christmas. And he said, I'm not sure that if your mum was still around, I would have experienced and enjoyed his presence in the way that I would have done. Somehow we become very reliant on one another. And I've had to become reliant on him. He wasn't saying, oh, I'm so glad you're, you know, I didn't feel like, whoa. But he was saying in the midst of that, that it had provided an opportunity for him to begin to experience and encounter God in a fresh and new way. And some of us have begun to get so comfortable with everything around us in this world that we haven't got space and the ability to see God. I wonder what it is at the start of 2020 that God wants us to lay down, to put aside, that needs to die, as it were, so that some fresh revelation, encounter, vision of God can come for our lives. Most of us can go far longer without looking at our Bibles than we do at our phones. For many of us, our view of ourselves and the world is being shaped by social media and the media generally, rather than God's perspective and his revelation that's expressed through his word. His word is an amazing gift to us. And if you want to have vision and revelation and understand who you really are, you need to make space for his word to take right place in your lives. If you're going to put any principle, practice into action at the start of 2020, can I encourage you? Give yourself to the daily practice of engaging with the word of God and allowing it to touch your heart, because Jesus is the living word of God. You want to have a fresh revelation of him. You want to encounter him. Give yourself to the word of God. So that was the context of the revelation. Secondly, the content of the revelation. It's a vision of the Lord on his throne as the king and in all his holiness. You see, everything starts with him. And that's why I say that I can talk about this is what our vision is as a church. But if it's not inspired and in the midst of us seeing him, well, it will go nowhere. We have to be caught up with him. We have to see him because everything starts with him. He is holy, holy, holy. It's the only attribute of God that's mentioned three times at the same time. The Hebrew word for holy is kodesh and means apartness, set apartness, separateness, sacredness, or otherness. He is totally, totally other. There is no one like him. And it's our vision of him that changes everything. That's why it matters. What's going to keep our lives on course in this next decade? What's going to mean that you're not back, when we get to 2030, you're not backslidden, you're not just drifting along and somehow just attending a church? It's not going to be because the church did all this incredible stuff or put on this amazing worship. Actually, first and foremost, it's going to be because you continue to have a fresh vision and a revelation of the one who is holy, holy, holy. The one whom there is no one, who no one else is like. The one who every one of us needs and was created to know and have their lives shaped by. That's why Paul prayed for the Ephesians. In Ephesians 1, he said, I keep asking the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father. What does he pray for the most? That he may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he's called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. What was Paul praying for the Ephesians? First and foremost, that they would see him, that they would have the spirit of wisdom to get to know him better, that somehow they'd have a greater understanding of the incomparable power there is in him. That was his prayer for them. Because when you have a real revelation of God, it affects how you see everything else, including the world around you and yourself. That's what happened for Isaiah. Suddenly, he looks at himself and he goes, "Woe to me, I'm ruined, for I'm a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips." Until we understand we're ruined individuals, we won't fully embrace what he has for us. And the truth is, you won't realize you're ruined by looking at the world. Because we're all ruined, and we're all fallen, and we're all marred. And if you take your standards from the world's standards, and if you go, this is what I'm shaping everything and building my whole revelation on, and what I'm building my life on, you will miss. And not understand fully who you are and what the world really looks like. We'll begin to see the world in the wrong way. And we'll allow that to shape our view of ourselves and one another. But it's our revelation of him that should then shape how we view ourselves and how we view the world around us. I wonder if we've lost that sense of awe and wonder at who God is. That sense of awe and wonder at his amazing grace that he sent his one and only son to die in our place. That somehow it's just become a bit familiar and we've lost within our own hearts and spirits and minds that sense of awe and wonder. I believe that God wants to renew something in us as we set out on a new decade. And the truth is that we all need fresh vision and revelation of God. I'm privileged to say I've had a number of really significant encounters with him in my life. Times where it's just like, whoa! I remember the first time I ever got filled with the Holy Spirit, experienced his power. It's like, whoa, I feel like I've just got electricity running through me all over my body. I was like, whoa, this is the power of God. I was like, oh, I'm never going to be the same again. I remember getting on a bike. I was only 18 or something. I got on a bike and I had to go up a hill. It was like I was in a lift. I just flew up. The power of God, it was like, whoa. I've had all sorts of different encounters at different times. But do you know what? The truth is that I will get comfortable and compromise if I am not seeing him and encountering him afresh in 2020. What happened at those different times will not keep me going with the edge and the way he wants me to really live in this decade. I need fresh encounters with him. Can I ask you, when was the last time you had a genuine revelation of him? When was the last time you were touched by the power of his Holy Spirit? When was the last time you were filled with absolute wonder at his grace and love? Paul, part of this amazing letter to the Ephesians that he wrote, he went on, he prays another prayer in Ephesians 3. He says, "I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge." At the start of 2020, my prayer for every single one of us within the Life Church family is not first and foremost about what we do, because I know that will come. It's about what we see and who we know. My prayer for every one of you is that you might see him afresh. That each one of us might get a bigger picture of how wide and high and long and deep is this amazing love of Christ. And we might not just know about it in our heads, but we might know about it right in our innermost beings. We might experience his love again for ourselves. Because when you have that sort of revelation, it naturally leads to a response. That's what's happened to Isaiah. Encountering the Lord Almighty, the Holy, Holy, Holy One, leads him to serving him. Isaiah gets a glimpse, not just of who God is, but of what his purposes are for the world. That he's looking for people to go for him, to live for him in this world. And what's Isaiah's response? Here am I. Here am I. Send me. That was Isaiah's response to his revelation of the Holy, Holy, Holy One. Paul put it this way. He said, therefore, in view of God's mercy, in the light of what you see, of what he's done and who he is, let us offer our bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. And we're going to take some time in a moment to go back into worship, where we have the opportunity to, as it were, offer ourselves and invite him to reveal more of himself to us. I wonder if, as we've stepped into this new decade, we become aware that we've got too caught up with this world and not caught up enough with him. Maybe there are things we need to lay down. Maybe there are things we need to take up. If revelation and vision are so important, how do we get it? Well, the first thing to say is, this is a God thing, not a man thing. You know, I don't just go, it's from God. So what do we need to do? We need to pray. You need to ask. And as we worship, we've got an opportunity to ask him to give us a fresh revelation, fresh encounter of who he is, and a fresh awareness of his love. It's why Jesus said to Peter when he said, you're the Messiah, the Son of the living God. He said, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. Revelation comes from God. We need to pray for it. We need to, secondly, lay other things down in order to spend time with him, in order to embrace him. Not get caught up with all the different counterfeits that there are out in the world. Remember what Jesus said, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. And thirdly, we need to step out of our comfort zones. Because one of the ways you encounter him and you experience him and you get a fresh revelation of him is when you don't just stay in that place of comfort, but you're ready to say, I'm ready to step forward afresh and to experience you. That was definitely true for Peter. If it's you, tell me to come. He could have just stayed in the boat and he wouldn't have had any fresh new experience, encounter, revelation. But he got out of the boat and he had a go. I'm going to ask the musicians to come back up. And I wonder if maybe, if you're able, you would like to stand with me this morning. And as we stand, I'm going to pray, and maybe you'd like to, in your own way and own words, just reach out to the Holy, Holy, Holy One. who is able to meet you right where you're at. The great thing about Isaiah recognizing he was ruined was it somehow drew the grace of God, and all his sin was atoned for. Sometimes when you see him, it also makes you go, ah. But his grace is sufficient, and his grace is here for us today. So together, Lord God, at the start of this new decade, holy, holy, holy one, Lord God Almighty, we repent of where we have got caught up with other things and stopped seeing you for who you really are. And we've begun to see ourselves and we've begun to see the world through the wrong eyes and the wrong perspective. And this morning we pray that in the coming days and weeks and months and years, you might open our eyes, the eyes of our heart, to really see you for who you are. We pray you'd help us to lay down the things we need to lay down, to give ourselves to you. And as we see you, may we serve you, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.